relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
American Airlines emergency line, please state your emergency.
Hey, this is Nitty at American Airlines calling. I am monitoring a call in which Flight 11, the flight attendant is advising our reps that the pilot, everyone's been stabbed.
Nobody move. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any move, you'll danger yourself and the airplane. Just stay quiet. Nobody move, please. We're going back to the airport. Don't try to make any stupid moves.
Hey, can you look out your window right now?
Yeah.
Can you see a guy at about 4,000 feet, about 5 east of your airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, I see him.
You see a guy, look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation. What kind of airplane is that? Can you guys tell?
I don't know. I'll read it out in a minute. Another one just hit the building.
Wow. Another one just hit the
World Trade. United 1523, did you hear your company, some interference on the frequency here a couple of minutes ago, screaming?
Yes, I did, 797, and we couldn't tell what it was either.
I got the piece to talk. Keep remaining sitting. We have them all aboard. So,
I also want to give you heads up, Washington.
Go ahead.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have confirmation.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
That he's covered by the White House, it's now near the Pentagon. I don't know where the hell they're getting their intel. I said Washington has no clue when I called Washington about it. They didn't know what the hell was going on.
Hard to credit it. Hard to believe. This weekend, we'll see the 20th anniversary, a generation since those events. That's the air traffic control audio of the 9/11 attacks on that bright, cloudless, beautiful Tuesday morning 20 years ago. As less than 20 Arab Muslim extremists decided to unleash jihad against innocent Americans, men, women, and children, civilians here in the United States, workers in the Twin Towers, the employees inside the Pentagon in D.C., and of course, those brave, brave passengers on Flight 93, led by one man who said, "Let's roll. It's not happening. We're not allowed. We will sacrifice ourselves to stop this plane, the last plane, from flying into the Capitol building in D.C. No, the White House was not the target. It was the Capitol building. And those Americans, the essence of what it means to be an American was what they did with nothing, with fire extinguishers, their bare hands. They took that plane down into that field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, sacrificing themselves and killing those terrorists so others might live, potentially saving the lives of thousands of people here in the nation's capital. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the nation's capital. And all this week, we will be remembering, not just on Saturday, when this show doesn't air on the anniversary, but every single day because of the enormity of that event 20 years ago. And also because of the events of the last 3 weeks. Just the shocking reality that Al-Qaeda, in English, the base for the propagation of a holy war against the Jews and Crusaders. Yes, that's the full name. Nobody ever uses it, especially in the mainstream media, because, ooh, you can't say that. You can't say the jihadis see themselves in a holy war against Jews and Crusaders. Bin Laden was living in Afghanistan 20 years ago. He was there with the express blessing, with the protection, with the recognition of the then Taliban, preparing for, recruiting, planning the mission that KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who will be going on trial this week. Yes, he's been in custody for 17 years. What on earth? The U.S. government is a joke. An utter, complete joke. You've had him in custody since 2003, since he was picked up in Pakistan. And he's been sitting at Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, at the cost of $12 million per year. Yes, that's what it costs per prisoner in Gitmo. $12 million. Dollars per satanic evil scumbag. And September the 11th was planned out of Afghanistan. 3,000 people murdered in the space of 102 minutes. In a country that was truly perfect to establish terror training bases, to house a mastermind, a land of Muslim fundamentalists that never functioned as a nation, not even during the monarchy that ruled it for a few years in the 1970s. No. A nation whose genetic warrior bloody-mindedness saw Alexander the Great defeated, saw the British Empire at its height defeated, saw the Soviet Union, which deployed helicopter gunships against civilians, landmines disguised as plastic toys to maim the children of that benighted nation. None of them could defeat the Afghan tribes. And our elite, after deploying the best of the best, special operators, special forces, CIA paramilitaries in the October, the month after September the 11th, in an amazing mission, the quintessence of irregular warfare, unconventional warfare, with just 300 guys literally on donkey back, with laptops and laser-guided munitions, leveraging 21,000 of the indigenous anti-Taliban Northern Alliance, took down the Taliban, destroyed the Al-Qaeda training camps, and forced bin Laden to run and hide in likewise fundamentalist Pakistan. After that amazing mission in October, what happened? 20 years of mindless mission creep. 20 years of cretins who'd been to Harvard and Yale convincing us and themselves, because they believed it as well, that we're going to create democracy in South Asia. That girls will go to school. Music will be legal again. And there'll be hospitals across Afghanistan and civil society and gender studies at the university in Kabul. Cretins, imbeciles, all of them. From Bush to Obama. From Petraeus to McChrystal. Idiots, all of them. But that's not as bad as what happened in the last 2 weeks. Instead of maintaining a corrupt government that would allow us to keep a small footprint of 2,500 operators in country to whack bad guys when necessary to make sure another 9/11 didn't happen again, after we spent $60 million a day for 20 years, Biden pulled the plug, it all collapsed, and now the Taliban is the best armed jihadi movement in the history of modern warfare. And for the anniversary of 9/11, we should do one thing. Prepare for the next one. And make sure that a real leader is back in the White House for 2024. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, and this is America First. Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
We will be paying tribute all through the week, given the fact that it is the 20th anniversary of 9/11 to the events of that grim, grim, tragic day. One of the flight attendants leaving a voicemail for her husband about hoping to see her face, his face again, and with a message for their children. Never, ever forget. It is Tuesday. It is time to connect with one of your favorite regulars here on America First, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America, financier, former media mogul, presidential historian, Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back to America First.
Thanks very much, Sebastian.
Conrad, since we won't speak on the anniversary occurring on Saturday, what for you is the most important thing for us to remember, given that this will mark a generation since the events of September the 11th?
Well, it was a new form of warfare. I mean, the United States, following the advice given by President Roosevelt in his State of the Union message in 1941, has been a deterrent power. He said we must always resist the temptations of appeasement. And his war message after Pearl Harbor, 11 months later, same year, 1941, he said, we must make certain that this form of treachery never again endangers us. And what you had with this attack on September 11 was the hostile elements of the world discovering, as they thought, a foolproof method of circumventing the fact that the United States has followed Roosevelt's plan, it possesses great deterrent strength and is not an appeasement power, that they would attack it in a way that couldn't be directly attached to any other country. So it was a new kind of warfare, and I think it must be said that in general it's been combated very well by President George W. Bush and his successors. I mean, there have been problems here and there, but in general, the fears that we all had at that time, 20 years ago, that there would be an endless series of these attacks all over the place has not happened. There have been attacks, of course. There have been terrible attacks, shocking attacks, but relatively few and generally becoming fewer and less deadly. And so it was the onset of a new era with the challenges of a new era. And frankly, it must be said, a far more despicable and unreasonable enemy than we'd faced before. I mean, horrible though the Nazis were, they were attached to an important and formidable country, and in the end they surrendered in a traditional way. Here we're not dealing with anything even as wholesome as the Nazis, and they were an utterly evil regime.
One of your prior works is titled Flight of the Eagle, The Grand Strategies That Brought America from Colonial Dependence to World Leadership. In that survey, have you found the happy medium between isolationism, which has been a movement in American politics, to interventionism that has also been another trend in our foreign policy? Right now, this is the real challenge for this administration. We saw under Obama, the Biden's predecessor, the precipitous withdrawal from Iraq that assisted in the rise of ISIS. Now we see the surrender in Afghanistan with Taliban 2.0 with $83 billion of our weapons. When is the world the safest? Where is the balance point for American action in the world?
Well, as I said in that book that you kindly mentioned, the key to this unprecedented rise of America in two long lifetimes, from the end of the Revolutionary War to the end of World War II, was not just that America occupied the center of this great rich continent and had inherited the best aspects of British civilization, a legislative system, and the elements of democracy and respect for freedom of expression and the English language and the common law, all of that. It wasn't just that, and it wasn't even chiefly that. It was the genius of American statesmen at specific key times when they had to have a brilliant leadership, high-quality leadership. And the people who established the institutions that won us the Cold War, the strategic team assembled by Roosevelt and inherited by President Truman, those people did a splendid job that has to be updated. And the answer to your question, as best I can give one, is that element of personal judgment by high office holders is what is key. And what you have to do in the case of the best policy for the United States in these matters is determine with accuracy and realism what are the vital interests of the United States outside the United States. What are they? And those have to be undergirded with alliances, given whatever military protection is required, and it has to be made clear to everybody that they will be defended at whatever level of force is required. And unfortunately, the United States, it's inevitable it would happen with any country, has strayed into some areas that weren't evidently in such a high position of national interest. And less than wholehearted efforts were made to protect those positions because they were, in terms of the strategic requirements of America, ambiguous. I mean, there once Pearl Harbor happened, there was no ambiguity about what had to happen. And for the first time in its history, the United States had an almost entirely united public opinion behind a war effort. There was lots of dissent in the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, and some even in World War One, but none in World War Two. None. Yeah. And I think we have to go through that exercise again. I mean, there's some things that the United States absolutely has to deploy to protect outside its own borders. But unfortunately, Afghanistan wasn't really one of them. No. So it was sort of flapping in the air, and nobody got a handle on it. Now, my own view is we should have taken the Trump formula, but stopped where he stopped it, and not taken it any further until there were reciprocal concessions, in particular the Taliban ceasing to be a revolutionary movement and becoming an unarmed political party. And that was going to take a while. And anyone who thought it was going to happen by May the 1st, which Trump himself didn't think, or May the 1st next year, it's rubbish. It's going to be a long time. And now, of course, they're ostensibly, as of today, governing the country. So they have no incentive to be anything other than what they have been.
We'll talk about the ramification of that decision in your latest article in American Greatness. But if I can turn the historic prism domestically, tomorrow, a 130-year-old statue of Civil War General Robert E. Lee that dominates Richmond downtown in Virginia will be removed by the governor of Virginia. Is that the right, when any nation has to deal with its past chapters that may be inglorious, is that iconoclasm, is the removing of symbols ever the right way to go?
No. In my opinion, it's just an attempt to erase and rewrite history. Robert E. Lee was opposed to the secession of Virginia, and he believed that eventually, and not too eventually, slavery would be abandoned, that it was in many ways an odious system. He obviously led the forces of opposition against the Union, but the fact is he was next to the founders of the country who were from Virginia, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe, and John Marshall and a couple of others. He was the greatest figure in the history of Virginia, and he was one of the greatest generals in the history of the United States, and he was an honorable man. And in any case, his capital of the Confederacy was in Richmond, and he's the most important person in the history of Richmond, Virginia. And the statue should be left there. But some new wording perhaps should be added on the base that he, you know, just what I said, that he did lead the forces of secession, and he was defeated, and his, while he was a very distinguished and talented and outstanding man, he was misguided, and it was a terrible tragedy.
When politicians, not historians, try to rewrite history, it never ends well. We've seen that before. We're talking to the author of Flight of the Eagle, The Grand Strategies That Brought America from Colonial Dependence to World Leadership, Lord Conrad Black. Follow him at Conrad M. Black on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First. The star of every great meal is, you guessed it, the chicken, the steak, the pork, or the seafood. Avoid disappointment. GoodRanchers.com saves you the trip down the meat aisle and brings steakhouse quality you can count on right to your door at 50% less than similar box services online. U.S. raised meat, T-bone strips, fillets, gourmet burgers, so much more. No hormones, no antibiotics, and right here from the great U.S. of A. Get $20 off your first order, GoodRanchers.com/GORK. Or subscribe today and get extra discounts. That's GORKA as your promo code. GoodRanchers.com/Gorka.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Without personnel on the ground, we can't verify the accuracy of manifests, the identities of passengers, flight plans, or aviation security protocols. So this is a challenge.
Oh, interesting. Tony Blinken saying we don't have people on the ground, so we can't actually do the mission that is set to rescue our friends, allies, SIVs, and Americans. Why is it you don't have people on the ground? Because they surrendered in Kabul. That is the lesson of the last 3 weeks. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Please, as a personal favor to me, if you're one of the millions of people listening to our show, will you support a great American? He wouldn't leave anybody behind. Former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani. They are trying to destroy him, strip him of his law licenses, bankrupt the man who brought New York back from the 1980s, who helped New York get back on its feet after 9/11. Please support him. Go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. Make a donation today to make sure that this man can continue to fight the good fight. That's RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. We are back with Lord Conrad Black, the author of President Trump, A President Like No Other, latest piece in American Greatness and Greatness.com. We're posting right now. Joe Biden is a total failure is the title. Lord Black, you go through, tour d'horizon, a horizon full of the incredible failures of just the last 8 months. You start with stagflation, which can kill a presidency. You talk about the crime rate in the U.S., the open artery of the southern border, the disaster of Afghanistan, on and on and on. Let me ask you to put that all into historic perspective. How true is the old saw that it's the economy stupid? That, you know, all of these things are true, the national security ramifications and everything else. But at the end of the day, a president of any party is most vulnerable when it comes to wallets and pocketbooks.
That has historically been the leading issue. But, of course, at times, other crises arise. In the 1860 election, which Lincoln won, it wasn't the economy, of course. There was a terrible threat to national unity. In 1940, President Roosevelt's third term, he ran even with his opponent, Wendell Willkie, on the economy, but he led on foreign policy, and the absolutely overriding concern of Americans was how to stay out of war but help the democracies who are at war, British and Canadians. And Roosevelt had, you know, all aid short of war and great arsenal of democracy and so on. And that was a policy that people approved. But normally what you say is right. I mean, obviously nothing affects people unless they are being literally oppressed. Nothing affects them more than their standard of living, the buying power of their income, the stability of their assets, and so it is traditionally the biggest factor, and it is about to assault this administration, I think. Incidentally, I didn't even get in that article you kindly mentioned. I didn't get to the shambles they've now managed to make of the whole COVID matter. I mean,
yes,
that was their great asset in the last election. I was their ally, terrorizing the country and denigrating Trump's vaccine and so on. And now they, with no excuse at all, have made an absolute Horlicks of it, as the English say.
Yes, indeed. Let me ask you how significant the recent events, not just the Afghan debacle, but the fact that with a legacy media, 90% of which is totally, totally on the side of the Democrats, votes Democrat, more than 90% of journalists, registered Democrats, that we are seeing illegal leaks again, not just in a Trump administration, but leaks of phone calls between the incumbent and the Afghan president to press organs like Reuters. The fact that a Democrat administration is leaking to the legacy media means that there must truly be turmoil inside the White House, does it not?
I think so. I mean, Sebastian, I've been following these things closely since the time of President Eisenhower in the 50s, and I don't recall any Democratic administration suffering a significant problem of leaks. When LBJ, when his popularity declined over the conduct of the Vietnam War, there still weren't leaks. When Nixon came in, with a new policy,
yeah,
and started to withdraw people and casualties reduced and so forth, all of a sudden he was undermined by these leaks. I mean, the fact is you know, that you live there. I mean, virtually everybody in Washington, D.C. is a Democrat. I believe President Trump got 3% of the vote
in his two elections in
Washington. And so the average people in the White House, just the continuous personnel, not those who were changed every change of administration, they're all Democrats. And when you see Democrats, which obviously must have been the case here, taking out damaging confidential information and illegally leaking it to the press, as they love to do with Nixon, they love to do with Trump, and they did it occasionally with George W. Bush and Reagan as well, but they weren't so offensive to the Democrats. It's got to be a sign that, you know, the ranks are wavering, that even the Democrats are worried about what's going on.
Yeah. And with the events of recent weeks, Lord Black, is Nancy Pelosi's star chamber January 6th commission to target conservatives, is that dead in the water?
I would say it's going to be very hard for it to get any attention, because we know that, you know, discredited though the FBI is, it has exhaustively looked at this and has declared that there's absolutely no connection whatever to the regrettable illegalities at the Capitol and the Trump campaign. So, I mean, no formal connection. And so, what is the point of it? I mean, just what do they think they're doing? And it is going to be overshadowed by more serious public concerns. I think the country is getting tired of Trump hate. I think they're tired of the Democrats having absolutely no explanation for anything other than we're not Trump and we hate Trump. And I thought...
Sorry, we lost you there for a moment. You thought the what?
Emerson poll.
Oh, we're losing him again. I don't know if we're getting some interference. We'll try one more time. Which poll, Lord Black? All right, we'll have to leave it there. In the meantime, you're back.
Now?
Sorry, which poll was that? We've lost him. We've lost him. The article is Joe Biden is a total failure, and one of our favorite websites, AmericanGreatness.com, AmGreatness.com. You can find it right now on our Facebook and Twitter feeds. And don't forget, if you want to celebrate the fact that President Trump was on the show recently for our new series of one-on-one interviews, check out the new America First store at SebGorkaStore.com, where we have all the paraphernalia where you can celebrate America First, including the T-shirt we made to celebrate the president's recent rally with that famous phrase, if you're woke, you're a loser. We've had orders already in the last week from, let me look at this, Australia, Canada, the UK, amazing, God bless you, Puerto Rico as well. Please check out SebGorkaStore.com for your America First gear, including the president's new T-shirt that we mentioned during our interview with my old boss, SebGorkaStore.com. Have a look today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.